This is Cave Scott Allen of otico.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from lazycoder.com.
Hello and welcome to Herding Code. It is December 5th. We're at NDC London, and I'm now talking to Pete Smith about Superscribe. So you were telling me earlier, Superscribe is an implementation of graph-based routing, and what the heck is that?
Okay, so one of the problems that you often find with routing in web applications is, one is the kind of ability to define the routes, certainly in web API, kind of before attribute routing kind of came along, the route definitions are quite difficult to describe and quite verbose in their implementation. They can also potentially be quite inefficient. You know, normally it's not going to make or break your application, but in a high throughput scenario, you know, you got to optimize for every little aspect that you can. And if all your routes are relying heavily on string matching, so each segment then, well, the whole route, in fact, gets matched against a string or a regular expression stored in a big route table. The larger that gets, you know, it's got to traverse the whole way down.
For each one on the list, yep. It's got to check, does this match, does this match, does this match?
So as the name might suggest, with graph-based routing, the routes are defined and then stored in a graph structure. So the first benefit is for when the matching process occurs. So your route gets split up by each segment, which is separated by a forward slash, as you know, the standard URL style. And then for each segment, it looks at the current node of the graph, starting from the base node, looks at what matches are available, and then only needs to look at the available transitions from that node, rather than analyzing the whole route table.
Right. Okay. So if I have something that is, I don't know, one node off of the route, then all the other ones that are several nodes off the route or whatever, those won't even apply.
Exactly, yeah. So you gain some performance there. And then the second part, which obviously graph-based routing was the best name I could think of at the time, and probably, you know, is only a very small part of it. So the other element, certainly for C#, incidentally, graph-based routing is, as a kind of standard and as a specification, is a completely language-agnostic thing. So there's actually also a JavaScript implementation.
Okay.
But in terms of the C# implementation, the route definitions and the graph, each node in the graph is a strongly typed entity. And rather than being forced to rely on string matching or regular expressions to determine whether or not a segment of the route is a match for that particular node in the graph, you actually have the ability to define what's called an activation function, which basically returns a true or false depending on whether that segment is a match for the current route.
So you pass in a node and it'll say yes or no on the match.
Exactly that, yeah. So
and these are custom activation functions? Like I can write my own activation function?
Absolutely, yeah. So there are a whole bunch of kind of built-in types of node which will respond in ways that, you know, you'll be familiar with the traditional routing. Mm-hmm. So obviously there are ones that do perform regexes if you need to. What we actually do for parameters is to actually do a try pass on the type. So if you've got an int parameter, it will try, basically determine whether or not it's a match by doing a try pass instead of actually analyzing it as a regex.
Okay. Try pass faster than regular expression?
I need to actually look into that to be absolutely sure, but this more came out of, that was the initial implementation.
I see.
We're currently at, Superscribe is at version 0.3.
Okay.
Which is the first kind of release that is basically ready for people to go off and try.
Uh-huh.
It's not guaranteed to be perfect, but hopefully kind of like anything that might come out would be just small, so
people
can let me know.
Okay.
So
there's the try parse style, but then you were saying there are other types as well of activation functions?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, there are kind of three core guiding principles behind Superscribe and graph-based routing. And the first one is composability.
Okay.
The second one is efficiency, which we've spoken about. And the third one is extensibility.
Okay.
So because the nodes of the graph are strongly typed, you're free to inherit from the base node class and create, you know, anything you want in this, in your activation function. So it's, whereas in a lot of frameworks, say, I know Nancy added support for route constraints recently, and they obviously has to be baked into the framework to actually be supported. Whereas with a graph-based routing approach, that kind of is implicit, then people can extend the routing and do whatever they like.
So when you mention Nancy, and we're talking about routing, then where exactly can I use Superscribe? What web frameworks would I use it? Can I use it with Web API? Can I use it with MVC? Where can I use it?
So at the moment, you can use it with Web API. Mm-hmm. MVC, I need to look into to discover if it's actually even possible.
Okay.
But I should hopefully, that's something I'll be doing in the near future. The Nancy routing engine is very extensible. Yeah, those guys have done some great work on kind of on that whole side of things. So development of that is underway. It's only just started. But expect to be able to use Superscribe and Nancy maybe in the new year.
Okay.
But the most interesting part that I think it's kind of going to be useful is with OWIN.
Ah.
So because of the ability to kind of define your activation functions, there are actually two other types of function that you can define. So in addition to the activation function, you've also got an action function.
Okay.
So this gives you ability to say once the route has been, this segment has been matched, you can then execute some arbitrary code.
Okay.
You could theoretically do whatever you want. You shouldn't. So generally what you can do is say add a bunch of handlers or actions to a pipeline to then be executed once route matching is finished. Now this hopefully starts to sound quite a lot like using the word pipeline.
Right, right.
And sounds a little bit like OWIN.
Exactly.
The OWIN pipeline.
Yes.
So what we've been able to, do really easily is have Superscribe determine which OWIN middleware to run based on the routing.
Wow. Okay.
So you basically can branch and select middleware. So an obvious example would be if you've got an area of your OWIN application which needs to be authenticated, you can then say slash private or slash admin slash, and then you can say that for the admin part of the route and everything beyond that point, it will use the authentication middleware.
Right.
Otherwise, it won't. Another question I have been asked, particularly about the graph side of things, is that why not just use a tree? Nancy has tree-based routing, which solves most of the efficiency problems that we might get in ASP.NET.
Right.
And in Web API, sorry. But there's a really kind of cool example of where the graph becomes really useful. So I've got all my routes set up for my web application as would run in production. And say I want to enable the tracing middleware when I, in certain debugging scenarios, obviously don't want it all the time.
Right.
Because I can, because of the composability aspect, I can assign part of the route to a variable and reuse that in my definitions. So I can say that in addition to this route being attached to the base, I can also kind of insert a node before the route. So slash debug slash.
Oh.
And then the rest of my route. So this is not something, it's kind of an optional segment is the end result, which is not something that's particularly easily done. Or at least I've not seen,
right.
I would love to be corrected. I've not seen a good example of that. So as slash debug slash, and then the rest of the route is the same.
Okay.
And then that can enable the tracing middleware or any other debugging stuff you might want to have on the go.
So here's a dumb question. What is the difference between tree and graph?
So a tree is a type of graph. They're both kind of data structures in computer science terms. So they are a series of nodes connected by edges between the nodes. The only difference between a tree and a graph is that tree nodes branch out and then they don't ever reconnect back with each other.
Right.
Whereas a graph, in theory, can have connections from one node to any other node, and you have to be quite careful how you manage things like cyclic dependencies and things like that. So,
wow.
But fundamentally, a tree is just a type of graph. So, in fact, you don't lose anything by, in 99% of implementations using Superscribe will probably never need to use the graph aspect.
Okay.
So,
So how does this actually work in my code? What does the API look like? Or, you know what I mean? When I'm defining some routes, do I just say this dot this, or do I build out a structure in code?
So this is, because this is still quite new, I'm still seeing how people react to this, but there are, if you're familiar with the economy versus expressivity kind of concept of artificial languages, economic kind of languages and constructs provide fewer options, but are very easy to learn.
Yeah.
and expressive constructs and languages have many options, but have a slightly steeper learning curve.
Right.
So Superscribe at the moment is more in the expressive camp. And
right.
As such, there is a domain-specific language implemented using operator overloads.
Okay.
Mainly the forward slash.
Okay.
Which is obviously usually used for, I can't remember if it's
division,
either. Division.
Right.
That is overloaded between the node types. So
okay.
If I want to do a simple root that is hello slash world, there is a class built in called the root glue, which you
mm-hmm.
use to kind of starts your roots, starts the chain, indicates that this is the DSL afterwards, glues it back to the base node, for example, hence the name.
Okay.
So you always start with the root glue, and you go root glue forward slash hello, like as a string.
Yeah.
Forward slash world, again as a string, and then the operator overloading and the implicit casting kicks in and then builds the graph from that.
I really like that. That's really...
which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
it does take a little bit getting used to when mm-hmm. when you see it. One thing that kind of I actually quite liked, but by finding out that people are not a massive fan of, is I've used the bar kind of Boolean OR operator to basically be able to build the entire tree in one line. So you say forward slash and then this node or this node or this node.
Right.
People don't seem to like that. And but what that that's only one option because it's so expressive.
Right.
You can define each root as a single line and it will, any nodes that are the same once converted to graph nodes, it will merge those two things together exactly like attribute routing would.
Okay.
In Nancy or Webby here.
And since it's an expressive API, then you can later add on the economic thing. Usually, like, you can usually add a layer on top, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, and anyone is, you know, can do that as well. If they don't, you know, kind of like the way things are going, if you want to add kind of helper methods or anything, because the beauty of it is that everything's strongly typed objects underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to use the DSL. There's a Fluent API that all of the DSL commands map to.
Right.
So you can still use that, and it's somewhat more verbose, still less code overall than, you know, a complex scenario in classic
right.
ASP or MVC routing.
Okay.
But you have those options as well, and you can create extension methods, you can derive base classes, anything you like.
So where am I? Like, I understand I use the root glue, is it? Or the something glue? I forget the...
Yeah, so...
So I use that, and then I can use the overloaded forward slash operator. And then how do I hook in those functions, the activator or the action functions?
So at the moment, action functions have to be defined by inheriting from the base Superscribe node.
Okay.
Graph node class.
Okay.
I did experiment with ways of kind of inlining
mm-hmm.
the functions of the DSL, but it quickly got out of hand.
Right. Okay.
So
I define a root and I'm using that syntax, and then on that root, I can say this root, you know, root dot something or.
So you've got two options. Either you can kind of create a kind of static class where you can then just have a function that will return you an instance of a new node. And
okay.
Then, so you can just go forward slash my nodes dot, you know, whatever your node is there, for example.
Okay.
An interesting example, I'm not really suggesting that anyone would really want to use this because it would kind of mesh up caching and all kinds of things, but you can define a node that checks the time, looks at datetime.now, and only matches if you're kind of before or after 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So
interesting.
You're actually able to move some of the logic that maybe doesn't really belong in your controller.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that you actually, all you want to do, you don't want a controller to kick in and handle it. You just want to either route to one static page or another static page, depending on, you know, what's some
right.
dynamic factor of your routing, then you can now do that using the routing.
Ah, okay. I've seen some people use routes that are specific to, for localization. So, like, you know, you have your root slash, you know, en-us slash whatever. Is that something that you've used or think, you know, people might use with this?
It's not something that I've done anything with at the moment. We kind of have done some of that stuff. My current client, I'm working for a company called Soft Tools.
Okay.
And they were using Superscribe in production. for those guys. They actually handle their localization in a slightly different way, by kind of a setting on the user, which then kind of comes in the thread principle and all the rest of it. But you can, I say, if there's anything that someone would want to do, obviously most of the time you can capture that in a parameter.
Right.
And then you can then either reference that from in your controller or your action or what have you. But you could also look at that and then add a certain kind of action to your routing pipeline to kind of deal with that or to set some kind of property in the request or...
Okay.
It opens up a kind of host of alternative options. It's all about giving people choices in terms of what they want to do.
Okay.
So what's next on the list for things that you're building on? You said you're at an 0.3 release?
Yep. So I have got a list of things that we're kind of looking at. At the moment, I'm kind of looking at ways to try and make things more accessible in terms of the syntax. I'm still building out the Owen bits and pieces. Now, what I would... we were talking about efficiency earlier on, and... this is probably a contentious opinion, but in my opinion, routing is probably going to turn towards being a middleware concern.
Huh.
It's for the majority of applications where you've just got one framework, it's not going to make any difference to performance. But if you've got a complex domain where maybe you're using SignalR and you've got Web API, you've got a series of other middleware that have to happen in the middle, or depending on what the route is, you want to choose your middleware. So you could potentially end up doing routing two or three times, depending on how complex your application, or even more. If most use cases, probably two or three, though.
Yeah.
So you don't want to have to pass those routes multiple times. So what you can do with Owen, and what we do at the moment, and I need to build on, is all of the root parameters, for example, get put into the environment dictionary.
Right.
With a key called root.parameters.
Yeah.
And then any of the other middleware can pull those out.
Wow.
And... if you use the kind of recommended approach of building, using the action functions to build a pipeline of commands, which then get executed when routing finishes, you end up, everything has access to all of the parameters from the root, because they have then been built together and put together in what Superscribe calls the root data, which is a kind of a property bag, essentially, that is common to each of, you have access to that in all of your nodes.
Okay.
So, you can use Superscribe to do your routing in Owen while choosing middleware to include. And then when it comes to Web API, the routing has already been performed. And then you then have access to any of the root parameters or anything that you set in your action functions. You can do custom logic or model binding at that point, whatever you like. And then any of your Web API HTTP handlers... in the HTTP pipeline in Web API, then have access to those root parameters, which is at the moment something that you only get with system.web.
Right.
So it's something that is not possible to do, depending on where in the pipeline your request handlers are.
Yeah, that's, I hadn't thought that through, but that's putting that in middleware really does simplify and open up quite a bit. So if people want to learn more about Superscribe and keep up, what's the web location?
So the website is superscribe.org.
Okay.
You can go on there, and there's a features page which kind of gives you an overview. And there's an interesting, if you look at the Web API tab on that page, you can see as an example from someone sent me their roots when I was kind of planning this out, and you can see the difference in verbosity in the Web API versus the Superscribe, which is really cool. Then there's a page that tells you more about graph-based routing in terms of the theory, and it provides a pseudocode implementation if people want to port it to other languages, or it's really easy to follow, and a whole bunch of examples that you can download from GitHub and have a look for yourself.
Well, now I thought we were done, but then I just remembered, you reminded me when you said other languages, and you mentioned that it works in JavaScript. So would the idea be for like single page app front end thing, and I'm parsing out URLs or doing front page or client based routing?
Like, yeah, exactly. So the whole idea actually came from JavaScript in the first place. Mm. There was an implementation at my client, and then we had a need basically to, because we're doing a single page application with a kind of iOS style of sliding panes,
right?
Instead of page loads. So, but if someone does hit refresh, we still want to be able to rebuild the state of those panes. Now, this is obviously possible with traditional routing, right. But the kind of the graph-based routing aspect of being able to add actions to your routing pipeline and then execute them.
Yeah.
So we add a fetch the data model according to this first part of the route. Then the next part of the route then says that actually we're looking at a pane on top of that.
Yeah.
So you can go through loading the data models and loading, but you only have, instead of having to handle that in each handler,
yeah,
you can then reuse the root actions and they will rebuild the application. So as we load up, it rebuilds and knows where our entire kind of hierarchy of panes is.
Ah, okay.
So there is a superscribe.js, which we're also using, which is based on Sammy.js,
uh-huh,
using the kind of underlying engine from there.
Yep.
I've not quite made it ready to share with people as of yet. There's still, obviously the, operator overloading,
yeah,
isn't technically possible in JavaScript. There is a way of doing it, but it's highly not recommended. But, so that is all, we're using that in production as well right now. So
okay,
that, hopefully again in the new year, as soon as I can find some more time,
yep,
after Christmas is over to kind of look at this, then stay tuned for that too.
Great. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for your time. This is great.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we got a little footnote to the show. Since NDC London, where I talked to Pete, some things have happened with Superscribe since then. So I got on the phone with Pete, and he's here to tell us a few things that have changed since then.
Yeah, so back when we last spoke, we were at version 0.3. Doesn't mean a huge amount at this kind of early stage of the project, but we're now on to 0.4, which is the first kind of, it's certainly a very much a beta, if not a kind of production-ready release. So there was a lot of feedback about the syntax that we used, particularly one particular kind of Unicode but non-keyboard-friendly character that's since been removed, along with a whole host of other kind of improvements to the syntax to make it really, really easy to use. You can now use the Web API replacement routing now works alongside the Superscribe module, alongside the traditional and the attribute routing, so you can combine all these different modes of routing together. And we've also now realized one of the really cool features, which is you can wire up along with your IFC container so that when you come in on certain routes, you can actually switch out your dependencies. Which allows you to do really cool things like compose a route with debug on the front of it. All your other routes hierarchically get added on, except say you can switch out your unit of work for an in-memory one. So you can test your app end-to-end merely by just kind of tacking on a route node on the front.
And we talked a little bit about that before, and that was that's using an action to do that.
Yeah. So this is now what the action does on that one is it just adds an OWIN middleware into a kind of a secondary pipeline, which then gets executed after the routing is run. So that's the other thing now is that the routing, if you use Web API with OWIN, the routing all happens prior to actually entering the Web API pipeline, and then Web API reuses that routing. So it routes, you can choose which middleware to run as you're going through the routing, and then pass that on to Web API without having to do any extra work.
Great. And these updates, I think you told me you're updating the site, so the updates to show that in the documentation should be ready by the time this goes up, right?
Yep, website's all updated. Extra examples I've added to the superscribe.samples GitHub repo. So get on there, superscribe.org, and try it out. And also look for updates on my blog, which is voicewalk.wordpress.com.
Great. Okay, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Brilliant. Hopefully it will all make sense when you go on there.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for the update, Pete.
No worries, John. You take care.
Okay, you too.